Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Lord. You see, as you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find that there were many references to the birth of Jesus. And in that time frame, the prophets looked into the future, expressed many things in relationship to what he would be named or what he would be called. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, familiar passage, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," or God with us. Then you go to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It says, "Therefore a child will be born to us, a son shall be given, and his government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne as he sets upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. It will be upheld with justice and with righteousness. And from then on and forever, the seal of the Lord of the hosts of God himself will accomplish this." As Daniel himself expressed, looking to the future, that the God of heaven was going to set up a kingdom. And that kingdom would never come to an end. And so as he himself, the Lord God of heaven, sent the message to Mary, or even after Joseph, because Mary, he found out with child, and he began to recognize what the law said, and he was embarrassed and didn't know just exactly how to handle that truth. But this is what the angel said to him, Matthew 1:21. The angel came to Joseph and said to Joseph, "The child that is in her," that is Mary, "has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So the name Jesus means Savior. Savior. Whenever you say Jesus, you acknowledge him as your Savior. That is what the word Jesus said. And in verse 25 of chapter 1 of Matthew, it said, "But he kept her," that is Mary, "a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So as you and I begin from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over and over again, in the context of Scripture, you will find this name ringing out over and over and over again. Jesus taught in parables. Jesus healed this one and that one, etc. Jesus raised Lazarus and others from the dead. Jesus foretells his death and his resurrection. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the door." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Over and over and over again, it makes it very clear who has been and is speaking. And, of course, some of you have it in red. So Jesus, 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 all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's all about Jesus, okay? It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing. Keeps me singing as I go. On Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached the first gospel message to the Jews who had gathered there for the feast of Pentecost, he then proclaims to them in Acts 2:36, "Therefore," he said, "let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This Jesus whom you crucified. What's interesting is now from the book of Acts in the beginning of the preaching of the gospel, it's not just Jesus. It is now Jesus Christ. Or is Christ Jesus. Or is Jesus the Lord. Identifying clearly who is being expressed about within the context of Scripture. In Acts 4:12, Peter declares and had said that there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And that name was Jesus. A text declares in Philippians 2:9 and 10, for this reason, in the fact that Jesus humbled himself and died, for this reason, are you listening? God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above all names. So that at the name of Jesus Christ, notice, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So you can't go into the book of Acts and the letters of the epistle and not say it, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. There are the times that only Jesus is mentioned, but I'll dare say 97% of the time it's Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? The word Christ means the anointed one. He now isn't just Jesus the Savior. He is now the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And every knee is going to bow someday before him. And they're going to confess that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. That's what it says. So as you and I think about Jesus, and we think about how it is indeed expressed about him, before he indeed went to the cross and he died, he is speaking to his disciples, and this is what he said. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. What does all mean? Means all, right? Complete? I got it all. It's all been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Now, where is that authority? How do you and I, if it is, have access to that authority? If all authority has been given to him, then that authority has been given to him by God, right? And God has placed that authority in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you have the authority to approach God, but by no other means. The only way to the Father is through Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Acts 2:38, when Peter preached there on that first gospel message, you remember what he said? When they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? What did he say? Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Where did he put it? What does it mean, in the name of something? Under the authority of. Okay? In household of Cornelius, Acts 10:47-48, after God had substantiated, Gentiles were now to be received into the kingdom. Paul, as he recognized and seen the occurrence that had occurred, this is what he said to the Jews and those that were there. He said, surely no one now can refuse these water that they may be baptized. And he, that is Peter, commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In the 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul met the disciples of John, you remember? He asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? They didn't even know he was being given. He asked them, then why were you baptized? They said, we were baptized under John's baptism. John's baptism did not have the promise of the Holy Spirit. So what did he say? He told them, and when they heard that they were going and could become recipients of the Holy Spirit, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing? How often you find the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ is being mentioned now in Jesus' name. Those are the three most powerful words you could ever say from your lips. That is why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. You have no authority to approach the throne of grace except you approach it through Jesus. Christ gave you and me the privilege and the opportunity and said to you and me, you can ask in my name. You can ask in my name. It is those three words that Jesus taught his disciples to use in their prayer. Jesus is our great high priest. He passed through the heavens and to the right hand of God. It is through his name that you and I can approach the throne of grace, and there we will find grace and help in time of need. If you turn to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, I don't know how many of you or I have ever come to realize what Jesus is saying here, but I believe it's important for us to see it. In John chapter 16, beginning at verse 23, follow along. It's important that you hear this. See it. John chapter 16, verse 23, okay? Jesus says, this is Jesus, in that day, notice that's future, in that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in what? If you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will do what? He'll give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. You have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Now these things I've spoken to you in a figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, future tense, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Did you hear what he said? He's saying future tense. Future tense, you will ask and you will be able to use my name. You haven't used my name yet. You can't use my name yet. I'm speaking to you figuratively, but in the time in the future, you're going to have and be able to use my name. You're going to be able to use my name. And so when you and I think of our relationship with Jesus Christ and the aspect of it, I think we all realize it is because Jesus, as he says in Philippians 2 in our text, it says it was because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross that God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. But it wasn't until he humbled himself, gave himself on the cross, that he was given that name above all names. And so after the cross, Jesus says, now we can approach the Father in his name. And whatever we ask in his name, of course, according to his will, God is going to receive it. And God will answer it, but not until. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says very clearly, there is only one mediator between God and man, the person Jesus, or Christ Jesus, is how it says it. So the only way you and I have access to God is through the person Jesus Christ. And Christ now, because of his obedience to the Father, and his death on the cross, his shedding of his blood for the remission of your sin, the door now is open for all who become a part of the family of God to approach the Father, our Father, who is in heaven, through the name of Jesus Christ. You don't pray in Jesus' name, it gets no higher than this ceiling. Did you hear me? Now, how would I understand that? Because it is your relationship with Jesus as your Savior that you have been reconciled to God. And you've been adopted into the family of God. Thus, when you and I pray, we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Our Father who is in heaven. It is your relationship with Jesus as your great high priest that we have, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we have entered and become a royal priesthood. As a royal priest, which you and I now are, if we are indeed in the priesthood under the high priest, we have received an anointing. And that anointing is we have received the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20, 27, you have received an anointing from the Holy One. That anointing is that you have received the Holy Spirit. There are only two positions and offices anointed by God under the Old Testament. One was the kings. Saul, Solomon, David were anointed. They were anointed as king. The other person who was anointed in order to be in the service of the king and the service of God was the priest. They had to be anointed. If they were not anointed, they could not enter into the tabernacle or into the temple. They wouldn't dare to go in there. And so in the anointing of the Holy Spirit being received, as it has been, you are now in and have become a member of a royal priesthood. priests had direct access to the Father. They could go into the tabernacle, right? Or into the temple. And they then performed the services that were to be performed in the lighting of the candles, the altar of incense, and the shewbread, and whatever. Only the priest, right? Only the priest had authority to do that. And so, speaking again of the future, Jesus said, I do not say that I will request of the Father on your behalf, because he doesn't need to. You, now, because of Jesus' name, you have the authority to approach the throne of God as a priest. You have direct access to that throne. But you need to approach the throne in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So when you and I personally make this our request to God, why can we do that? Because Jesus said the reason this is going to happen is because the Father loves you just like he loves me. Hey, you're a child of God, aren't you? You and I have been adopted into the family of God, haven't we? And so as God's children and as royal priests, we have access to go before the throne, make our requests be known unto the Father, but we must approach the Father through a great high priest. That's why he's our great high priest, because now we have direct access through him to God. And so our great high priest, his name above all names is Jesus. So if you ask, he said, the day is coming in the future. I speak to you figuratively, but in the day and in the future, he said, you will ask in my name. Isn't that what he said? And people say, well, you know, what's in the name? No, Jesus said, if you ask in my name, it will be given to you. Isn't that what he said? That name, in the name of, means authority. You have no authority in and of yourself to approach God except you come through him. There's no other access to God except through the Son. If you don't accept the Son, you deny the Son, you deny the Father. If you deny the Father, you deny the Son. There's no way and you can indeed be in fellowship with God, the Creator, except you come to him through his Son. Isn't that what it says? Why would you not want to approach the Father through his name of his Son? The Bible says you and I have, if you will, an advocate with the Father. What's an advocate? A lawyer, attorney, that pleads on your behalf, right? And who is he? Bible says it's the Son of God, okay? So you and I have this relationship with the Father that they did not have until after the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, was buried, risen from the dead, exalted to the right hand of God, that name became the name above every name. That is when God exalted him, right? When Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross, God then gave him and exalted him by giving him a name above all names, the name Jesus. So today, because you and I have come into this royal priesthood, Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, we have confidence. You're back under the Old Testament. I don't know if you realize it, but the priests had bells on their robes. Okay, the two reasons for the bells. Number one, the other priests outside, because they only went in one at a time, the bells would be ringing, right? And so if he's over lighting the candles, they would know what he's doing because they could hear where the bells were. And then he would walk over to the altar of incense, and they would know what he's doing there. Then he would go over to the shewbread, and they would know what he's doing there. But all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the bells might not ring. They stopped ringing. Why in the world would they ring? Because he passed out. When they went into the tabernacle, into the holy place, they went in there trembling in fear. And many times in doing their performing of their responsibility, they literally passed out. And so they had this long shack with a hook on it. And they'd go under, well, he had to be over by the prayer altar, and they'd go looking for him, find him, and drag him out. That is the picture that you and I must see when we read this passage. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, we are his children, we are a royal priesthood, we have access to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and in his name, we can enter into the throne, into the very presence of God himself with confidence. We are not approaching Him in fear. We are approaching Him because why? We know He loves us. He loves us. And therefore, we can go into the holy place and approach Him because we have been washed, cleansed, cleaned by the blood of His Son. Verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. God responds to the faith of His people. When you go to make your request, you must ask in faith, believing that God hears you and is going to answer you. Period. Okay? In Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Something about that name. Something about that name. You will call His name Jesus. Why? Because He's going to do what? Save His people from His sins. There is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness outside of the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross. That blood is applied very clearly in Jesus' name when a person truly repents, turns from their sin, and is baptized into Christ. And in Christ, you will have access, and the blood of Christ will forgive you, remit, wash away all the sins you've ever committed. And it's like as you rise up out of the water, you grave of baptism, it's like day one. You start life all over again in Christ. And you now have the authority to use His name. You don't have authority to use His name yet if you're not a Christian. Only Christians, those who are part, a member of the family of God, who have entered into a royal priesthood, have access to God through Jesus Christ. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're not a Christian, we're going to be singing this hymn, this chorus again. And indeed, if you want to be a Christian, then we'd invite you to come this morning. We will teach you if you don't know all there is, but we just know that this is what we have to confess. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you believe that, say it with me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the King, the Son, deity of God. That's it. That's it. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn together.